Okay, here we go.
The Alphabet Princess by Jane Ray.
Let me tell you a story about something that happened a long time ago in a land far from here, a land ruled by an old king who had three daughters. Their kingdom had once been covered in forests filled with birdsong, and the palace had been a busy and bustling place. But since the queen's death, the heart had gone out of the kingdom. The winters were bitter and the summers were scorched, and the palace was filled only with sadness. People lived in tumble-down cottages and scratched a living from the dry earth. The animals were so skinny you could hear their ribs rattling, and the birds were too hungry to sing, Delilah. You want to see the picture?
Hey. Turn it back. It looks like it's winter.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Because there's no leaves on the trees. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's summer and it was so poor that leaves didn't grow.
Mm-hmm. Now, before the queen died, she'd ask each of her daughters to choose one of her possessions to remember her by. Suzanne, the oldest princess, picked a pair of fine scarlet shoes with heels that made sparkles on the cobblestones. When Susanna put them on, she felt tall and important. Miranda, the middle princess, chose a magnificent mirror made of silver and pearls. She spent hours gazing into it, thanking herself the most beautiful princess there had ever been.
I want to be the apple prince.
Serenity, the youngest princess, could choose a simple wooden box that she had loved since she was a baby. Inside the box were seven magical things that the queen had collected when she was a little girl.
Is this the apple pup princess?
It sure is. There was a scattering of raindrops, a splash of sunlight, a fragment of rainbow, a starbird's feather, a spider's dewy web, a burst of nightingale song, and at the bottom, an embroidered silken bag that held a tiny apple pip. We're going to read the apple. We'll do yours next, okay? Serenity liked to look carefully at all the things inside. They helped her remember her mother and how beautiful what she had once been. Time passed, and one day the king called his daughters to him. "I am old now, so I must choose which of you will be the best ruler for our kingdom after I have gone. I have decided to set you a task."
It's going to be her.
"You must each do something to make your mark, something to make me proud. After 7 days and 7 nights, I will look at what you have done and I will make my decision." Susanna was clever and knew straight away what she wanted to do. "I will build the tallest tower in the world," she said. "It will be so tall that it will reach the moon. People will see it and remember what a very important person I am. They will be so proud to be ruled by me that they won't mind being hungry at all."
Look. There's all the way up there.
All the way to the moon. She sent orders for people to bring her all the wood in the kingdom, even if it was the roof over their heads or the fences that kept their animals safe. And if anyone ever thought of arguing with her, she would throw them into the dark and crumbling royal dungeon.
Look, there's one box is in his favorite chair.
Mm-hmm.
Too bad.
Miranda was clever too, but rather vain and far too busy admiring herself in the mirror to have any ideas of her own. If Susanna is building a tower tall enough to reach the moon, I will build one to reach the stars.
If I was her and that was my grandma, I would hide the birdcage somewhere so they won't be able to bring the birds in the birdcage out there.
If Susanna is building a tower tall enough to reach the moon, I will build one to reach the stars. If her tower is made of plain old wood, mine will be made of shiny metal. People will see my lovely tower and remember how beautiful I am. They will be so honored to be ruled by me that they won't mind being poor at all. Immediately, Miranda set orders to people to bring her all the metal in the kingdom, even their cooking pots and their tin pans, copper bells and bird cages.
That is not very nice.
And if anyone argued, Miranda would stamp her feet and throw them in the dark and crumbling royal dungeon.
If I was her, I would be scared.
Now I expect you are wondering about Serenity, the youngest princess. Maybe you think that I'm going to tell you that she was the cleverest, or the most beautiful, or her father's favorite, because that is often the way with fairy tales. Well, the truth is that she was little and shy and quite ordinary, and she was rather afraid of the dark and crumbling royal dungeon. While Susanna and Miranda rushed about, Serenity sat in her favorite place and looked in her mother's wooden box. My sisters are clever and pretty, but I am no more important than this little apple pip. What can I do to make Father proud of me? Serenity wondered, gazing out at the barren land. I'll look, sweetie. I'll look for you in just a minute.
Don't put that on me, sissy.
Looking at the seven magical treasures in the box, she heard her mother's voice telling her how she had carefully collected each one in her wanderings through the nearby hills and forests. Serenity remembered how wonderful the kingdom had been when the queen was still alive. And slowly the tiny seed of an amazing idea began to form in her mind. She began to smile, and then she began to work. On the first day, Serenity took a trowel and began to dig in the ground. It was difficult work because the earth was baked hard by the sun, but she kept digging until it was crumbly and brown. Carefully, she took the tiny apple pip from its embroidered bag and planted it in the earth. On the second day, Serenity planted the pips from breakfast pears and the next to the apple pip. Then she watered them with the scattering of raindrops. On the third day, she planted the pips from an orange she had for lunch and let the splash of sunlight dance over the earth. And then she watched in amazement as green shoots pushed their way through the soil. On the fourth day, Serenity planted pips from her suppertime cherries. Then she took the fragment of rainbow and flung it high into the blue sky. The little green plants turned their leaves to the sun and smiled. On the fifth day, Serenity noticed a boy in the village watching her and called him over. He brought her a plum pit and began to help. They worked together all day, digging in the hot sun, and by evening they were firm friends.
It's a toddler.
You can.
Okay.
Before they went home, Serenity took the starbird's feather and let it fan a soft, fresh breeze over the earth. The boy's name was Joseph, and on the sixth day he returned with olive pits from his mother. Word began to spread, and the people came to offer gifts of orange and lemon pips. They helped Serenity and Joseph dig and water and plant and sow, and taught them all they remembered about tending the land. Before the sun began to set, Serenity draped the spider's dewy web over the bright young leaves and buds of the tiny apple tree. By the seventh day, the land beyond the palace was covered in the misty green of little seedlings. But Serenity had a problem. Somebody's at the door. Although she could easily imagine how lovely all the trees and plants would be when they were fully grown, she realized that they would never be ready when the king made his decision the next day. As evening approached, Serenity suddenly put down her trowel. "It's no good," she said. "My father can't possibly choose me. The plants will grow." And Joseph said, "Look how strong the little apple tree has grown. We must just be patient." Darkness fell, and Serenity was tired and despondent. With tears in her eyes, she opened the wooden box the last time and released the burst of nightingale song among the branches of the tiny apple trees.
"I would like climb that."
Mm-hmm.
"It says it's too tiny."
With the beautiful sound filling their ears, Serenity and Joseph fell into an exhausted sleep. Early the next morning, the king appeared. It was time to make his decision. Suzette called to him from the top of her tower. Mommy's in the kitchen. Mommy's here. She's in the kitchen. "Father, Father, look at this tower. Surely it's the tallest tower you've ever seen. I should definitely be the one to rule the kingdom." But the king shivered in the shadow that the huge tower cast. "Father, Father, look at me," called Miranda from the top of her tower. "Isn't this the most beautiful tower you have ever seen? I should rule the kingdom." But the king was blinded by the shiny tower flashing in the sun. The king looked around for the youngest daughter, but she was nowhere to be seen. He walked outside the palace walls and found Serenity and Joseph lying asleep on the ground. He woke them gently. "Oh, Father, I'm so sorry," Serenity began. But the king took her by the shoulders and turned her around. As far as her eyes could see, there were plants and trees, fruits, olives, nut trees, all fresh and green in the early morning sunshine. Serenity and her father walked slowly arm in arm. The air was full of the scent of flowers, and all around them children were playing. People were picking flowers and tending the trees, and the one people were resting in the dappled shade. The old king felt his poor, unhappy heart fill with warmth again as his sadness drifted away on the breeze. "Serenity, my Serenity," he said.
"That must be the apple tree.
You shall rule the kingdom, for you have transformed the land and made it blossom again." "But what of Susanna and Miranda?" you ask. Well, if Susanna stood at the top of her creaking tower on tippy-toe in her scarlet shoes and reached as high as she could reach, she could nearly touch the moon. And if Miranda balanced on the very top turret of her shiny tower, she could nearly touch the stars. But after a while, each began to feel rather lonely. Then they heard the sound of laughter and birdsong floating up on the breeze. So they climbed down and joined the king, Serenity, Joseph, and everyone else sitting under the trees. As day faded into night, the three princesses lay down in the grass and listen to the magical sound of the nightingale song. The end.
Well done.